Good morning and welcome to Unlimited Realities. I am your host, Lisa Zimmer, and today I'm really excited about who we have on. We have two really conflicted, diverse guests, okay? First off, we have Rick Stack, who actually is a former student of Jane Roberts. Now, if any of you are familiar with Jane Roberts' work, she's the original channeler of the Seth materials that was very popular back in the late 60s, early 70s. And Rick Stack was her personal student. So she was as if his mentor, if you will. So that is who our first guest is. However, I have a little glitch because Rick was supposed to give me a call here, and I'm going to use my new studio feature that allows me to call right here with you guys online. So you're going to hear me call Rick from the studio and get a hold of him. But let me talk a little bit about Rick before. Oh, Rick, you are on, man. You are on. He just called into my studio. So let me talk a little bit about Rick before I bring him on. He, as I said, is a former student of Jane Roberts. You can find more information at www.sethcenter.com, Rick Stack. Rick is also the president of He is the president and director of the New York Dinner Theater. He's also president of New Awareness Network, Incorporated. And Rick is also publisher and editor of the Seth Audio Collection. We're talking to Rick today specifically about the new work, Secret to Healing Cancer. And we're going to be talking about some out-of-the-box thinking, some a Chinese doctor who has come across a innovative way of work and discovery that's revolutionary. So we're going to talk to Rick about that. We're going to talk also, I want to bring up a webinar, I believe he is starting on February 26th, and we can address that as well. So without further ado, let me bring to you Rick Stack, who is the former student of Jane Roberts and also author of Secret to Healing Cancer. Rick, thank you so much for being my guest on Unlimited Realities. Welcome, welcome.
My pleasure to be here. And just a correction, I'm not the author of Secret to Healing Cancer. I am the publisher of that particular work. And that book was authored by Dr. Tiancheng Su, a Chinese psychiatrist and family doctor.
Wonderful. Okay, so let me backpedal a little bit. I had a cancellation audience last minute, and Rick and I hooked up through his publicist, and we got him on. So lo and behold, I was not able to read the book. So I apologize for my inaccuracy here. But thank you anyway, Rick, for being with us. Let's talk a little bit about The Secret to Healing Cancer. Now, in Dr. Su's book, you have examples of people who've actually gone into remission from cancer. And this is attributed to his principles for healing. What are some of the basics of those principles?
Okay. Can I read one paragraph from the book?
Certainly.
As an example.
Certainly.
Let me start by telling you a little bit about Dr. Su. Dr. Su started his career as a family doctor in Taipei, and he became involved in the study of metaphysics and New Age, what was called New Age philosophy at the time, and he wound up picking up a Seth book, and as some people probably in the audience know, Seth is the non-physical personality who spoke through the late author Jane Roberts while she was in a trance state. He was a channeled entity, in other words. But Seth pretty much, many people attribute Seth to have literally launched the New Age movement. His concepts, for example, the concept that you create your own reality according to your thoughts, emotions, and beliefs, that concept has been rippled out all over the planet now at this point. And you hear a lot about now about the law of attraction. And Seth really wrote sort of the Bible of the New Age on the law of attraction. And that book was called The Nature of Personal Reality. So not that Seth is not a guru type, so to speak. He claims only to be a non-physical teacher, one of many, and that these principles have been given throughout history. Now, Dr. Su became involved with the study of the Seth material. And he now, of course, there's a lot of science to back this up now, and we can definitely and should talk about the science. But at that time, there was less so. But still, in the field of psychoneuroimmunology, even 20 years ago, they were making direct connections between, for example, positive affect can lead to an increase in natural killer cells. And that's a study done in 1994, basically saying, you know, happiness, your state of mind, social factors, et cetera, directly impact on the immune system. Now, since that time, there's been a tremendous amount of research backing this stuff up, and we should definitely go up to, get into this. But Dr. Sue was a bit ahead of his time, so to speak, and so he became involved studying these metaphysical principles of the Seth material, which talk about the basic concept is, of course, that any physical illness has a psychological or spiritual or psychic, whatever you want to call it, counterpart. In other words, there is no such thing as having a malfunction of the immune system to the degree of having a serious illness unless there is a reason for it. This is a different concept to say that there is always, there's never a time when you're going to have a cancer or a serious kind of disease like that, where the immune system hasn't malfunctioned for a reason. That in normal individuals, and this has been proven now, normal individuals have cancer cells in their body every day. What happens is that the body's immune system kills them. There's no problem. So something happens, you see, that causes that immune system to malfunction to a degree that an individual then gets a disease like cancer. And so this is what Seth was saying in his work, and he goes into it extensively. And this is what now the psychoneuroimmunological research is backing up. But what happened was is that Dr. Sue took a practical approach to this. He started incorporating this into his actual practice. Now, he became a psychiatrist at one point. He was a medical doctor for many years, and he treated really thousands and thousands of patients. He became a psychiatrist at Taipei City Psychiatric Center, and then he became the director of the mental health department at Taipei County Hospital. That's a major hospital with, you know, really a huge amount of people coming in. Now, as the director, he had a lot of power, and he instituted, I don't think he had the same kind of problems he would have with the AMA here. So he was able to move forward quicker. And he started just incorporating these principles, you could call them spiritual principles or the basic fundamentals of change, of discovering within an individual's psyche what their problems were, and to treat the physical illnesses by treating the inner problems. And his result was so phenomenal. He had so many people that he helped. And you have to understand, he didn't do it for them. He taught them how to unleash their immune system again. That's all. He basically taught them how to heal themselves. But the results were so staggering that basically he now runs a Seth clinic in Taipei, in Taiwan. And you can't even get, you know, you have to, wait just to get an appointment.
That's amazing.
And this is because people, And like I said, there's tremendous science now, amount of science being done now to back this stuff up. And I would say this is a transformation going on in medicine within 20 years, I would say, probably maybe a lot sooner. But within 20 years, it's inevitable that this is going to be the new medicine.
Now, do you feel go ahead. I'm sorry.
I'm not saying that this is not abandoning Western medicine.
Right.
We're not saying to abandon the best. We're not going to abandon the best of Western medicine. But what we are going to do is we're going to start abandoning the worst of Western medicine.
Okay.
The worst of Western medicine. And
Now,
the worst of Western. Yeah, go ahead.
Do you feel like American, the medical society in the United States is actually embracing it more open-mindedly? Because I know, you know, overseas in Europe, in Asia, so much more alternative methods and therapies and concepts that are used in medicine. How are we in our open-mindedness today? Or do you feel like there's a shift going on where we are starting to look at things differently?
There is definitely a shift going on. There is also definitely the shift is going on slowly. You know?
Right.
But it's happening, and it's going to inevitable because the quantity of studies being done now are increasing. And you have doctors that are well known, like Dr. Andrew Weil, right?
Right.
And you'll hear him, and in fact, this is from his. This is a newsletter that was in 2006. I mean, this is years ago. A study of nearly 1,000, this is from his newsletter, study of nearly 1,000 older adults followed for 9 years concluded that people with high levels of optimism had a 23% lower risk of death from cardiovascular disease and a 55% lower risk of death from all causes compared to their more pessimistic peers. Now, that's just
wow.
a very simple example of this kind of studies that are done, and that was 6 years ago, okay.
Right.
And some of the things that have been identified, and if we go into the Seth stuff, then we're going to go deeper, okay. And that's the difference between the Seth material. But what's been identified is, for example, negative emotions that can lead to illness include pessimism, hopelessness,
right.
anxiety, depression, guilt. And social factors, like whether you're actually lonely, whether you are alone and don't hang out with a lot of people, or have friendships, these things have been shown that they can lead to illness, that they could affect psychobiological processes relevant to health. And empirical evidence suggests that there are marked association between positive psychological states and health. And reduced risks of all kinds of diseases. So this is the studies. The doctors are going to come along, but you see the Seth material and the spiritual aspect of this takes this all a large step further.
Right.
And to go into that is complex, but let me try to give you a simple kind of example. When we're talking about what we're talking about in a way is spiritual growth. So,
right.
So what we're saying is that if an individual is ill, that there's a problem in the psyche, and that problem in the psyche can, in a large way, you could say it has to do with spiritual growth. Okay, but let's take an example. Let's take something like anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and now I'm going to go into metaphysics for a moment, if I might. Okay. And
certainly.
So, when you're talking about that anxiety and fear can affect your body, and we know that it can, then you're talking about, well, all right, so let's learn how to get rid of the anxiety and fear. But the bottom line is that we're really talking about we're talking about either religious and metaphysical beliefs now also, because we're talking about why are people afraid, period. What is behind their fear? And you can say, well, let's alleviate the fear and anxiety. Doesn't work for everybody because when you're talking about fear and anxiety, somebody might have just lost a child or somebody might have lost a husband or somebody might not have work in front of them and say, okay, well, you know, you should just get rid of your anxiety. And they're going to go, well, you know, why don't you just walk a few miles in my shoes before you tell me to get rid of my... Well, if you meditate, you'll get rid of anxiety. Well, meditation has proven to help anxiety. But probably because what's going on when you meditate is you're starting to tune into your inner self, your soul. And that inner self and soul can help you actually change your psyche. But sometimes that's not enough either, just meditating. Because unless you have a spiritual understanding of what's really going on and go a little bit deeper, then you might still be, for example, afraid. I'll give you an example here. Now, Seth does teach the concept that you create your reality, that there are no accidents. Now, that's a metaphysical principle. Okay, now you know, a lot of people find that that's nuts. Okay, but, you know, the other principles are not really that logical either. The other two explanations is, one, everything is random, and there is no such thing as creating your own reality. It's just a random world.
Right.
And the other explanation is that God did everything. This is a third explanation that's really been given throughout history, is that individuals affect their reality. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, let's assume that one of those is true. Okay? If events are really random and you can just get hit by any disease for no reason, or that a terrorist bomb could just blow up in your city without any reason, and you have no power whatsoever to affect that, it's a scary world.
Right.
And if God is controlling everything, and if we are in a lower state of sin, which is a lot of the beliefs in religion, then... And that the human beings, well, just look around, there's war, there's disease, and yeah, God knows about all this, and yeah, it's just, you know, that's basically what we deserve. Well, okay, if that's true, well, it's still a scary world. So now you have two big scenarios out there, you see, where people believe in the bottom of their hearts, or whatever, they have this belief that the universe is not safe.
Right.
And that they can't really trust themselves, because either they were born in original sin or something like that, or it's just a random world and they just evolved from apes, and, you know, survival of the fittest, which is driving them and their fellow human beings. And how could they ever really trust people or themselves? Now, this
right.
is if that's what's underlying them. So people don't realize that they're walking around with an underlying belief system, a spiritual system, so to speak, where they don't really believe that the universe is safe, where they don't really feel that they have power. So, and furthermore, where they don't even really believe that the human being is good. And that means that even though they think, oh, I'm a good person, I behave properly, deep down they don't trust themselves either, because they know they're a member of the race of man, and they don't really believe that the race of man is good. So I'm just giving you an example of what we're dealing with, larger issues here. So underneath all that, one of the results of that is that you're going to feel an underlying anxiety, an underlying fear. So when you tell people, okay, we've discovered now that there's a connection between fear and anxiety and disease, you got to get rid of your fear.
Mm-hmm.
So why don't you just meditate? Or once, in fact, that's a very good thing to do. I don't underestimate meditation. Has been shown to actually get these kind of results, okay, and has mindfulness meditation and other forms of meditation relax the body, and they can have tremendous positive effects. But what's happening in a lot of cases when these people are meditating, they're not just relaxing, they're tuning into their soul. They're tuning into intuitive information that goes beyond the intellect. However, it doesn't work. That's not enough for all people, because without a deeper understanding, they don't really approach these underlying belief systems, and they could still have problems. And to move things further along, both in fixing your body if you're ill or in developing yourself spiritually, is to understand the deeper issues of how to of that the fact that you do create your own reality, to shift over to a belief system where you understand that what you are is good. And that is one of Seth's message, of course, is the importance of understanding that you are part of nature, and that nature is good, and that what you are is good. And the fact that you are part of God. You are a living branch of God. And to honor yourself as you would honor God, honor yourself. And when you start to do that, this is the kind of thinking and emotional patterns that create health. We know that. Mm-hmm. We know that it does create health. You can argue whether it's true or not, but
right.
Anyway,
right,
that was a mouthful.
You,
sorry.
No, you were. That was great. It was like a great little great channel, Rick. I loved it. But you've got this piece here with, you know, Seth comes through today where, you know, it's as if it's common sense in so many ways that, you know, some of the statements, the truisms, the channelings that came from Jane. You know, you listen to them today, and it's things that we find that are emerging in our institutions, that are coming out in medicine, that are starting to be little tweaks of insight and perspective. What do you feel, you know, you gave the audience a great tool right there in regard to self-love and really honoring self, because it really does come from that place. And how does Dr. Sue put that self-love and that optimism on changing the cells into healing within the body? How does he look at that energetic shift?
Okay. Let's see. I'm going to read you something which might be let me see if I can answer that. An individual. All right, let me try reading it. This is just something a little bit random, but I have to open up, untie the knot in the heart, and I think that it might be apropos. If a person is depressed, this is from Dr. Sue's book, if a person is depressed due to past hopelessness and failure, then even though they live in the present, they will still be carrying around this pain from the past. So how should such a person proceed in order to recover from disease? If we change our core beliefs, we pair genes. At the very moment we change our minds in the present, we change our past as well. Now, by the way, remind me, I'm going to tell you about a study with regard to the changing of genes by changing your mind.
Okay.
A change in the past feelings and the condition of the subconscious will allow our bodies to recover health in the present because the tangled knot in the heart is untied.
Mm.
Opening a tangled knot in the heart is not easy, but is definitely worthwhile and definitely worth spending time to achieve. Unfortunately, most people have not paid enough attention in this area. How does one untie a tangled knot in the heart? A tangled knot in the heart is something that happened in the past and that had a great effect on a patient. It created a sense of despair in the patient's heart and initiated the cancer genes. The tangled knot in the patient's heart killed his hopes for the future and impeded the joy and sunshine in his life. So, you know, Dr. Sue talks a lot. Okay, let me just go on. How do we undo and reprogram the codes? The tangled knot in our heart killed the hopes for his future, impeded the joy and sunshine in his life. In his heart, the patient feels that he lives miserably. To use a phrase from the movie Star Trek, he has initiated a self-destruction program. What Dr. Sue is saying here, and I'll give you some other evidence and scientific research for this right now, is that when somebody comes to a point of hopelessness inside, and they might not even be aware fully of all of the full range of their emotion, because many people repress emotions that they don't approve of. But if you are honest with yourself and let yourself look at your mind and your feelings honestly, you'll see it there. And what Dr. Sue is saying, that this is one of the real indicators of serious illness, like cancer, is somebody comes to a point where they're actually feeling hopelessness of one sort or another. Now, as I mentioned, it's not just hopelessness. It's pessimism, anxiety, guilt, but often hopelessness is associated in there. Negative thought patterns, according to Seth, habitual negative thought patterns are always a part of any serious illness. Now, this is again from Dr. Sue's book. How do we undo and reprogram the codes before the self-destruction program reaches its end? First of all, we must understand what conditions initiated the self-destruction program. We must regress to the initial moment of time and space, untie the tangled knot in the heart of that person, and help him to regain confidence in life again. So this is one part of his possible therapies that he uses is that with some people he'll, and he does this in group therapy also, he'll just have them really examine the aspects of their life that caused them to get to this place of hopelessness. And just by shedding light upon it and understanding it, then that could help, one, release the emotion, but two, in concert with a new framework of hopefulness, believing in your power, believing that you're part of God, believing that what you are is good, you can literally change the genetics. Now, although, again, let me give you some science on that so that your listeners realize this is not just a bunch of hokey nonsense, which is often the case.
No, that's okay. I appreciate thinking out of the box thinking, and this is great.
All right, so this is a study published in the Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences, 2008. Just to let you know how far this has gone back. They did a study on, and this was related to prostate gene expression in men. It was done by Dean Ornish, 2008. And what they discovered, they did an intervention, and the intervention was both nutrition and lifestyle intervention. But that lifestyle intervention included participation in stress management, okay, which everybody knows now that stress is, can hurt you, but also participation in the psychosocial group support. Because in many cases, we had people that, again, were lonely or had anxiety or depression, so they were trying to counteract those things, all right? And they also did exercise, moderate exercise, and they also ate good foods. Now, moderate exercise itself can help improve your mood. Okay, but what happened was really fascinating because within 3 months or something, within a short period of time, over 500 genes were affected.
Wow.
In fact, they changed. Your genetic makeup changed. There's certain genes that create cancer, and there's other genes that promote health. Okay, so in this 500 genes that were affected, certain disease-preventing genes were upregulated. That means turned on. They've discovered now that genes get sort of turned on and turned off currently. It's not all about heredity at all. They get turned on and turned off by current conditions. Okay? That's the field of epigenetics. So, in fact, certain disease-preventing genes were upregulated, turned on, and certain disease-promoting genes, including oncogenes involved in cancer, were downregulated or turned off. The results of this study suggest that comprehensive lifestyle changes may cause changes in gene expression that could be beneficial to the general population as well to those with prostate cancer. And again, just throwing out one of numerous studies now, as the body of evidence now has shifted to indicating that the mind and your mood and your psychos and your social situation affect your health dramatically.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Now, what do you think is the most important piece for our listeners in regard to Dr. Sue definitely addresses where illness can lead to self-awareness and self-growth and self-understanding. And I would believe that he means in exploring the disease and, as we were just talking about, seeing where it derives from and how the dis-ease developed within the body through an emotional state, an unresolved state, many, many different factors. What would be an important message that people could get from the book, The Secret to Healing Cancer?
Well, the book deals actually extensively with practical means of actually healing yourself. Okay, so certainly that would be an important part of the equation. But the most important thing, I think the most important thing to start with is to realize that your illness, and this is about what you were saying now, if somebody is ill, it's not what it appears to be, because it appears to be, because of the way we were taught, an illness hitting you from the outside.
Right.
In reality, what's going on is your body simply doing its job, and its job, one of its jobs, is to reflect your inner state. So what's happening is your body, and now I could go into the metaphysical principles behind this again, and I'm not sure what audience I'm speaking to right now.
Oh, no, this is a very receptive metaphysical audience. This is, my show's titled Unlimited Realities, okay? So we go anywhere.
Oh, there you go. Okay, cool. All right. So, okay. So going back to this, this thing, if you have a physical illness, don't blame anything. Don't blame yourself because you don't want to feel guilty. But just realize that getting ill physically is no different than any other problem that people encounter. Okay, from a metaphysical point of view, or from the point of view of the Seth material and the New Age movement now, let's say somebody gets into an accident and breaks their leg. Or let's say somebody goes to war and is wounded. Okay? In any of these, and I'm making this simple, I'm making this so that we're not dealing with too serious issues as we go.
Right, gotcha.
So whether you, or let's say somebody instead gets cramps, I don't know, okay, psycho. All right, so what I'm trying to say is it doesn't matter whether the person got cramps because they were stressed out that day or whether they got into a car accident and their leg was injured or whether they went to war and got wounded. You see, what Seth would say, what the metaphysical principles, or whether they had a ruptured relationship, for example. Okay, they lost a friend, okay, who would have been a good friend, and they didn't really have to, but because of their inner psychological state. Or they broke up with a spouse. We'll make it a little bit more serious, okay? Metaphysically, from a point of view of the concept being put forth in the New Age, you create reality according to your thoughts, your emotions, and your beliefs. And physical reality is a training system in which we are learning to become conscious co-creators with all that is. And the way that we're taught to become responsible citizens of the universe before we're allowed into more advanced systems. And this is what Seth has said. That before we are allowed into more advanced systems, we have to learn the basics of using energy. We have to become responsible co-creators. So what happens is that when you have problems of whatever sort, they get materialized in physical reality. So if you believe that the universe is not a safe place and it's a dog-eat-dog world and people can't really be trusted and that there's evil out there that can get you, then you're going to encounter it. And until you understand that there really is no such thing as evil per se. When I say that evil per se, it's very important to understand what I mean there. If you have, like, Adolf Hitler, we all know that what he did was evil. Okay? But from a larger perspective, what the metaphysical principle is that each individual creates their own reality for a reason, and the universe will take somebody like Adolf Hitler, who is not just himself, but a reflection of many other people's belief systems. Like, Adolf Hitler could never have done what he did without the support of millions of people. So Adolf Hitler was the reflection of a lot of people's beliefs. He couldn't have done what he did alone. He had to have a lot of people cooperating. So an individual like this is not just, it's not just him. It's a whole bunch of people who have these limiting belief systems, this lack of understanding. And from the universal point of view, according to Seth, this individual is going to be taught. He's going to learn, and if an individual, and you could, it's not quite the same as karma, but similar, in that it's not about punishment. It's just that when you are violent, when you hurt somebody, that violence is going to return to you, and you're going to experience being what you're doing. So if you are hurt, have a lifetime of hurting others, and you're not getting it through your head what you're doing, you're going to wind up with a lifetime of being hurt.
Right.
Perhaps. Until you understand. And it's not a matter of punishment. And the moment you understand that all people on this planet are your brothers and sisters, then you really understand. And it,
mm-hmm.
and you're free. There's no lingering punishment, according to Seth. And that many of us have committed crimes throughout our reincarnational past. But we learn. And you can't really hurt anyone else. And this is a very controversial point, because everybody creates their own reality and everybody's participating as a victim or as a perpetrator for a reason having to do with their belief systems. This in no way says it's okay to hurt anybody or at all. That's a violation. That is wrong. Okay, it's just trying to explain it from a larger perspective. So when somebody has a physical illness, it's no different, according to Seth, really, from other problems. It's a physical manifestation of the lack of spiritual growth. Here's a quote from Seth. An illness is a failure to solve a mental or psychological problem in the correct manner. The energy that will be used to solve the problem instead is spent maintaining the illness. It is therefore necessary that an attempt be made as soon as possible to solve the problem, which of course must first be discovered by the ego, which has avoided it.
Mm-hmm.
You see, this starts going into the underlying principles of spiritual growth as given throughout the ages. Here's another quote for Seth. This will take us down the rabbit hole a little bit. But although the reason or reasons for your particular illness involves personal causes, indeed, in one way or another, all illnesses have a root within ego's attempt to stand apart from the action of which it is composed, so that at times it fights against itself. This might be reminiscent of the work of Eckhart Tolle that some people might be familiar with. It has similarities with that, where Seth describes the development of the ego as an important development, but he said what happened was that the ego now has become overdeveloped, overspecialized, has become a tyrant, and basically has largely cut itself off from the soul, from its own intuitions. So a lot of the Seth material revolves about a transformation of consciousness where you could say that the ego is going to grow as opposed to being completely deposed. It's going to be transformed as it joins with the spontaneous inner self and starts to open up to that. Now, this
That's
involves
wonderful.
Stuff. Yeah, go ahead.
No, that's
Sorry.
Wonderful. That's a wonderful healing. I want to direct everybody to where they can get more information from you before we have to head off and usher in my next guest here. We have your website as www.seth.com. Would you let everyone usher there in regard to the book? Because I'm sure people suffering out there need to know the options and the alternatives and thinking outside of the box. And this is proven scientific evidence that there are aspects to healing that aren't invasive, and they are nurturing and supportive of the human spirit and soul and physical form. And so, Rick, thank you so much for being the publisher and the editor of this wonderful book with Dr. Sue, The Secret to Healing Cancer. And thank you for being our guest today on Unlimited Realities. I'm going to hand you the floor so you can just talk to the audience and guide them to how they can get in touch with you.
Great. Thank you very much. And those who are interested in picking up their first Seth book, I also am teaching an online course, which is very inexpensive, and it's starting February 26th. It's a six-week course. And find out about that and all of the Seth books and The Secret to Healing Cancer, I direct everybody to SethCenter.com. That's SethCenter.com, SethCenter.com. And if those of you just want to, like, find out about some information about Seth and maybe listen to some free CDs and stuff, you could try Seth Learning Center, SethLearningCenter.org. And,
wonderful, wonderful. Thank you so much, Rick.
Good enough.
Rick Stack, you've been a wonderful guest. God bless you, and thank you so much for being on Unlimited Realities today. Have a great week.
Great pleasure to meet you. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Well, that was a wonderful, wonderful guest. And now we're going to bring on, my next guest is going to be coming on, and her name is Kelly Nosler. And she's actually hails from my county, Indian River County, in Vero Beach, Florida here. And we're going to talk about a growing need that's not only centrally located to here in my county, but also nationwide. And we're going to focus upon a lot of what we need in our community for growing food locally. Kelly Nosler is a fifth-generation Vero Beach resident. She's a community outreach organizer, and she's going to be talking to us today with a passion. This woman has great passion and great insight in regard to making change easily in our community and nationwide for growing food locally. So without further ado, let me bring on my next guest, Kelly Nosler. Welcome, Kelly. Thank you for being my guest on Unlimited Realities today.
Thank you, Lisa.
How are you?
I'm pretty good. How are you?
Good. I'm good. I'm really excited to bring this information to the audience about what your organization is and what we're focusing on today and what we want to bring to the audience is really an awareness of what's out there. And in talking to you yesterday, you brought up the concept that our food banks do not consist of locally grown food. Can we talk a little bit about that and how frustrating that is that we don't support healthy eating in our community and other communities around the nation?
Yeah, I don't believe that it's because people do not want to. It's the fact that we need to be growing more food locally to provide for these organizations, not just the food bank, but our local restaurants. And, you know, there's a lot of food assistant need in the county right now. So it started on me trying to save my own farmstead. And so that's what got me to looking at, I was brought up in the agricultural sector of the community. And so it's not new territory to me. And when I was being challenged with having to save my land, which I was zoned agricultural, I just never had actually farmed my property, I started traveling around going, wow, you know, we really don't have many people growing locally for us. And so I started traveling Florida to see what they were doing in other counties. So we have a lot of opportunity. It has opened up a lot of information and connections that was needed to make so that I could bring this opportunity back to the community so that they realize, well, we've got a lot to do. We have a lot to do.
Right. Now, were they receptive? Was the community receptive? Are they hungry to learn? Are there places they can get information? How were you received with this new information?
Oh, very much so. I've been attending a lot of different things. I've been asked to speak at a lot of different things. And basically, I think the saving of the green space is very important. The new agricultural technologies that I'm trying to bring into the county are tying into soil and water conservation, which is important to people. It's not just about the providing the food. It's also tying into that people are concerned with also. I just seem to be the only one showing up, whether they're talking about emergency preparedness or, you know, food banks or, you know, whatever the topics are, obesity. I spoke at an obesity task force meeting that we had here. I seem to be the only one showing up that's talking about growing our own food. It's not about food that's coming in on trucks. We've got to be providing our own food. I mean, back in the day, I found out through this journey of my own that my family actually boated here in the late 1800s from Key West and started farming on John's Island. They bought 10 acres from John LaRoche, which is who John's Island is named after, and that I have family that's buried over there, but they came here to farm. And my family was actually giving out food here during the Depression. So the fact that I'm involved in this, you know, five generations later, kind of unintentional, if you want to say, it has me questioning, which is a nationwide issue, is like, wow, you know, where did the families quit? You know, where did it stop? Because people used to at least grow part of their food, you know. And,
right.
It seems a pastime anymore, obviously.
Well, you know, there's a change in our society from even the turn of the century in regard to how we all have sought simplification, and in our simplification, we've turned to methods in cooking, in buying food that aren't holistic, that aren't natural, that aren't healthy for us, simply to make it easier. And now we find all these diseases that are increasing, that we have childhood diabetes, we have diseases that were once only, you know, privy to the elderly, now children are getting them. And this is an atrocity. This is something that's a global awareness need. And it's very, very important that we start to put our money where our mouth is and start to take control over our destiny in regard to how our children are living and how, what we're feeding our children and our grandchildren down the road. This is an epidemic. And, you know, it takes pioneers like you, Kelly, to really find a voice, get out there and make people stand up and take note, because, you know, ignorance is bliss, and many people can stick their heads in the sand, but, you know, this is going to continue and perpetuate, and it's very, very important that we start to take really, really pragmatic steps to start to take control over our food and what we're putting in our diets. You know, you look at the institutions, you look at the schools, you look at what they're serving, it's junk, and we need to really start small, start at the ground level. And I totally commend your effort. This is a big project to take on, and this is a community that you're going to probably have to educate. So let's talk a little bit about what your needs are. You have a need for a distribution center in Indian River County. Let's talk about the local need for that. Has that been talked about within community efforts, groups, organizations within the community? Has anybody given you any support on that or ideas for that?
Oh, yeah. Who I am and how I'm known in the community is I've always had very much compassion for my community and helping others, but I'm a delegator. I have collected a lot of information, so I did want to talk on some bullet points on things that I think we could address right now.
Okay.
The distribution center is, we already have funding going out to the farm to school program, and they are willing to support people who are growing locally if the locally grown food is, you know, at a central location. They're not going to go to individual farms to pick up anybody's, you know, so, which is great. It supports not competition, you know, to where if somebody's just growing 50 pounds of tomatoes or somebody's growing 5,000 pounds of tomatoes, it's not going to matter. It's going to be distributed out. So I talked to the Graves family that owns a empty packing house facility, and they are all for it. They're very community-oriented, too. So it's just about
wonderful.
One thing that would really help is that to where locally people that are growing locally would have a place to bring their things. I could see that as a little farmer's market, maybe a little CSA out of there too, because
like
of the location.
Like build a co-op kind of concept, right?
Yeah, we definitely have underutilized packing houses right now anyway, so we're going to need more than one distribution center. But it just would be a way, because when I was going out and visiting the local growers, I was hearing, you know, that they, I seem to be the connection. I seem to be the field person that seems to be lacking in today's world. Everybody's behind desks and at meetings, and farmers want to farm and chefs want to cook, and who's the in-between person, you know. So that's one thing with the distribution center. The city just passed to where we're allowed to do community gardens now. Community gardens are being used in a lot of different ways, you know, to bring that community feel back that people are longing for. It's also being used for violence in areas that have, you know, higher violence, you know, obviously to help with, you know, people who are looking for food assistance, you know, they're putting those in food desert type areas. So I was glad to see that the city passed where we're allowed to do community gardens now here. There's a certificate being offered right now through our local state college. I don't know if you're aware, but there's a huge shrimp farm that's going out in Thelsmere, and because of that, our local college is providing a certification. I think it's like 10 classes for you to get the aquaculture certification.
Wonderful.
Yeah, there's a lot of good things going on. There really is. I see reorganization that needs to happen. I was asked to speak at the county health department in front of the obesity task force, and the very first question I asked was, do you as Indian River County Health Department have any kind of relationship with Indian River Food and Agriculture? and there's no relationship there. But obviously, if you're looking at the health of the community, it's, you know, your basic air, food, and water concept
right.
that we need to look at. You know what I mean? I mean, it's about so I think people, I had a lady see me in the paper that said she'd been doing sustainability stuff for 20-plus years, and she contacted me. And so what has happened to where other areas have, like, reorganized to say, like, a sustainability, whatever word they're using, to where these departments maybe have a more intimate setting where they're more working together, not to where they're in separate departments. You know what I mean?
Right.
So
they've
reorganized themselves in that way.
Well, you know, sometimes it's somebody to organize the organization. And it sounds like in a lot of ways you're bringing a little bit of common sense insight into maybe a gray area that everyone's kind of afraid to approach because they don't know whose toes they're stepping on. You also are looking for funding in regard to the veterans farming. I find this such a wonderful, wonderful concept, and I'd like to really spend some time on talking about this. What are you working with in regard to the veterans and the farming proposition, and how can funding get to that organization?
Well, actually, Bernadette was hired by our local veterans council here to reach out to the younger vets, because the older vets here are having a hard time reaching the younger vets. I was introduced to her because my business associate that I'm working with that has got me involved in this at a much deeper level, she is a Gold Star mother, so she's brought the veteran awareness to me, and she really admires the fact that our community has so many flags here. She said that she admires that. We obviously are very patriotic. But anyway, Bernadette contacted me, I guess it's been a couple of months ago, and she said, Kelly, can you get me a list of local growers together? Because there is funding that will pay the veterans to work on these farms, and there's also funding available for the farmers to train these veterans. And she's interested in getting that going. So actually funding
Wonderful.
Available for this. Yeah, not something we're having to, you know, she's willing to do that. She's just wanting me to get a list of local growers together. So this is what I'm saying is cool about the new agricultural solutions. I know some people are threatened by technology in all different areas, not just agriculturally. But I said, you know what? Thank God these new technologies are coming in, because if we expected our youth to get out the old John Deere and the shovel, we'd be in some trouble. You've got to start introducing new technologies. It's just so the technology I'm trying to get here is aeroponics, and it's NASA's technology, and it is about soilless farming. But I'm seeing, you know, we need massive growing, and people can do niche markets. Actually, Teresa's going to be marketing it as what's called a farm in the box. I mean, people can actually have a business in a greenhouse setting. It doesn't have to be a brick-and-mortar business.
Right,
and,
right. I love the concept of a farm in a box, because it makes even, you know, gray thumbs a little bit more supported when they want to grow something. Because it's
yeah.
you know, it's one of those things, everybody seems to be much more aware these days. They're more aware of eating healthy and taking more control and more personal responsibility for that. I think with these concepts of like farm in a box and things like, it really takes that intimidation away from people who feel like they cannot grow anything. So, you know, there's these concepts, aeroponics that you were talking about, and the fish farming, and all of these different types of things that are really viable sources to be eating. There's a little bit of controversy in regard to the fish farming that I've found, and I don't understand why, but I find some people or eating fish out of fish farms versus the ocean and the waters. And can we address that a little bit? Because I think that there's a misconception or an assumption there that maybe they aren't containing all the natural oils that a fish out in the ocean would, or that they're not as healthy as fish in the ocean.
Yeah, well, you know, it's like anything. It's only as good as you what you feed it, you know. So we did meet a company. They're out of Fort Pierce or Port St. Lucie, I believe, called Ocean Solutions that uses a product that comes from the Gulf. It's funny, you know, we're in a time of, when we have a time of change like this, you know, the entrepreneurs come out, you know, full throttle. We live in that country. And so I think as far as it not being as healthy, like I said, it's just, it's what you're feeding it. And they're closed loop systems, you know, where you've got the plants and the, I really can't comment on that on a level of, you know, wanting to be a nutritionist.
No, but I think you hit it really well, that it is a matter of what's being fed and how it's being raised. So, you know, there's very little of the health aspect of that. But, you know, where we're moving into on the Treasure Coast here is a lot of awareness. And we're you specifically are planting that seed in people who are farmers and growers and aquaculturists, and people who are changing the face of what healthy eating and food is. Let's talk a little bit, because we just have a couple of minutes here, of how people can get a hold of you and where we want to lead them, whether it's to a website or to your email address, or I'm going to give you the floor.
Yeah, right now the best way is just by email or by phone, and my email is the letter K Nosler, N-O-S, as in Sam, L-E-R, @gmail.com. And my phone is 772-633-0089. I'm also on LinkedIn and Facebook, where people can reach me through that. But I tell you, one of the things I would like to see that the community supports is, especially since they're so veteran-focused, we really need a demonstration site here. It's not about promoting one way of growing. People just need to be growing, period, whether they want to stay in the soil, whether they want to do aquaponics, whether they want to do hydroponics, aeroponics, it doesn't matter. It would be nice to have a demonstration site that ecotourism is being talked about a lot about too, and that's been brought up about how we could bring like a green feel to this community and have it be an ecotourism type of setting here. But that would be very nice if the community would support something like that, a demonstration site. Matter of fact, Julianne Price had mentioned a piece of land that could be used. Of course, we've got all kinds of land in the community. I don't think that's an issue. But, yeah, so
wonderful.
LinkedIn, Facebook.
So, you know, the piece that's a really wonderful piece is this is a very generous community. And as soon as word does get out on a need, and with you as a voice piece and the pioneer, Kelly, I can't imagine that the community is not going to rise to the occasion and really support healthy growing. This is a great foundation. It's something that brings a lot of awareness to the community, and it also brings a lot of insight and educational knowledge in regard to how to be healthier and eat healthier. So, Kelly, I really appreciate you coming on Unlimited Realities today. Thank you so much for being our guest today. You've really opened up our eyes in regard to how much is lacking in regard to our kind of an ignorance that we are kind of shrouded under here. So again, Kelly Nosler, fifth generation Vero Beach Indian River County Community Outreach Organizer. She is able to be contacted at her email address, which is knosler1@gmail.com, and her phone number again is 772-330089. Kelly,
thank you
so much
me,
again for being my guest. And if there's anything that I can do to help support your mission, know that I'm here, and I'd be happy to help.
Thank you so much.
You're so welcome. Take care, Kelly. Have a great week.
Okay. You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Well, thank you, everybody, for tuning in today on Unlimited Realities with Lisa Zimmer. It's thinking out of the box and taking charge for change is what the theme was today. And we looked at that through cancer alternatives, and we looked at that at providing healthy, local, organic food to our communities. Thank you so much for tuning in to Unlimited Realities. May you all have a wonderfully blessed and humorously light week.